To know, Ariana wanted to know if this makes me a pap because I've got the white beard going on. I said, yes, that's what. So anyway, Cheryl has some pictures of the yesteryear on her Facebook, and I knew that. So we just jumped on the Facebook to see back when I was black bearded, okay, when I had a black beard. And there's one picture there that I'm milking cows, and I'm sitting down next to a cow, and I got the milker, and it looks like I'm about ready to take the milker off of the cow. And Cheryl must have snapped my picture. It's an old picture. It's like a, you know, like a Polaroid type of picture, but she's taking a picture with her camera and put it in on Facebook there. And it was I was not looking very happy. And one of the girls pointed out, you don't look very happy in that picture. And I said, I don't know as I was. And so some of you need to smile this morning, because if I take a picture and your grandbabies look at it a few years from now, they're going to say, no, Pap, you don't look very happy that morning. It's a good morning. It's a good morning to be here. It's a good day to be gathered together. Don't let me take a picture and 40, 30 years later have your grandchildren look at it and say, you don't look very happy this morning. What was going on? I don't know. I don't know what was going on. I did say this. That was before Jesus in my life. I know some of you, maybe you, if it's before Jesus in your life, that's new business right now. God loves you. Receive his salvation. Some of you are kind of frowning this morning. You already got Christ. You got no excuse. You are redeemed by the blood. This is not the message, but you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You are going, man. You are there. I don't know what else is happening on this earth, but God's got you. And when you leave this earth, you're going to be in the presence of God. Don't let me take a picture of you this morning that you're going to say, man, you weren't very happy that day. You got all the reasons to be happy this day. Amen. We just proclaim some of those reasons in this message, or in the songs that we just proclaimed out singing together. God is so good. He's gathered us here this morning. He's ready to ignite us. He's ready to put us on top and give us his word this morning. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I know every time I read a passage of Scripture, it says, now that's kind of my favorite now. And I think it's whatever passage you're in, but I do have those passages that I go back to at times. And just kind of the old faithful passages, I go back. And you know, 2 Samuel 22 is one of those passages that I just love, that passage. And I like the Ezekiel 37 passage, where Ezekiel gets the question, can these bones live? And God's just using to bring life to the people around him. I like the Jonah, the book of Jonah, and even the second chapter where Jonah's inside the belly of the fish and he's crying out to God from inside of this salvation. And really the fish was his salvation, because without the fish he'd have never got to shore. So God sent salvation. It wasn't, but he knew he was inside of that fish, and he's crying out to God, and the fish swims over and spits him out on the dry land. I just love that passage of Scripture, and I go back and visit them. Another one that we're going to look at tonight is this afternoon, this morning. This is, I got all the times of the day covered right now, right? So it's John 9. It's the and we call it the blind man, but the blind man is only blind for like three verses. And it's like 30 verses, and you know, and I have written in one of my Bibles, I just renamed it Ex-Blind Man. It's just because he's not blind anymore. He's the blind man. No, he's not. Like three verses out of 30, he's blind. Everything else he's seeing, and he's walking with Jesus, and Jesus talks to him, and Jesus comes back in the temple and meets him in a very powerful way. But that passage of Scripture has captivated me, and I just love going there. And it is our sixth miracle, and recorded in the book of John, that Jesus is touching someone in a very real way, in this miraculous way in his life. And it says in John 1, I don't have anything on the back wall, if that matters. As Jesus went along, it says this, as Jesus went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. And Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, and just so you know, I took all the he's and the his's out of there, and I put Jesus in there. I'm going to make a translation that gets rid of all the he's and his's and uses the name Jesus everywhere. I just, you know, should we capitalize he or should we not capitalize? How about we just change it all for Jesus? And so you can just say Jesus. Look, as Jesus went along, Jesus saw the man from blind from birth. Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We know the passage. I don't think I'm teaching anything new on this passage, but here it is. Here's the moment that Jesus is going to do something in this guy's life. Neither this man, Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. There's a purpose for this challenge in his life. It's not caused by his sin or his parents' sin. It's this demonstrating the power of God in his life. Hang on, disciples, we're going to do something here. Look what he says in verses 4 and 5. We're going to come back to this in just a minute, but look at it right now. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, sure, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And verse 6 says, having said this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put eyes in the man's sockets. That's my translation. I just think that's what he did. If God took dirt, and I said this before, if God took dirt originally and packed man and then breathed into man with his own breath and with his own saliva, and man became a living being, and God created from dirt, he created man, I think that's what Jesus was doing. I think the man was born without eyes. And I think Jesus made him right there, right again, just like at creation. And he made him, he stuck him in the guy's eyes. Sockets, and he said, go rinse off what's left over so that you can see. And look at the disciple, look at the blind man did, the ex-blind man. Go, Jesus told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. In one moment, Jesus altered this guy's life. He altered this guy's life in one moment. The moment was right for Jesus to step into this guy's life. The moment was right. And this is verse 4 says this again. Verse 4 says, as long as it is day, and I think this is interesting, as long as it is day, and then he looked at his disciples, and he didn't say I, he said we. As long as it is day, we must do the work of God. Okay, granted, the night is coming, but right now, the door is open. This is my paraphrase of that verse. Push the button. This is my paraphrase of that verse. As long as the door is open, we must go through and do the work of God who sent me. The door will close, then no one can work. Sure! And then we talk about, is this the door at the end of all time? Perhaps, I don't know, but it could be this moment. And I see it as a moment. I see Jesus saying, listen, the blind man's, it's time. The door is open for us to step toward the blind man. The door is open. While it is day, while the door is open, while it's open, it's time to move toward the open door. I think that's what he's saying. The door will be closed. It'll be night. Ultimately, there's going to be a time when God calls all the pieces back together and the end of time and eternity begins. But right now, Jesus is saying, the door is open. We are going to step toward the open door because the blind man is here and God wants to work in his life. Step through the open door. I think that's what he's talking about. Because sometimes the door's not going to be open. And there's times when doors are open and the times perhaps when doors are not open. The opportunity is now. Night is coming, sure. Night is coming. Is it the end of the time? Perhaps, again. Or is it just this moment? Is the door going to close? And just to be honest, I see this more as the door open or the door closed. There's a door open into this guy's life. Now, maybe it hadn't been open in the past. Do you think it's the first time Jesus ever saw this blind man? I don't think so. But the door wasn't open to this blind man. And Jesus said, the door is open now. You see, the disciples already thought, the door is closed, this man's sin, or his parents have sinned, so the door is closed. He said, it's not closed, it's time to move toward the blind man. Jesus is saying, the door is open now. And as I processed that this past week, as I said, I think that's what Jesus is saying. Just work with me here. I think that's what Jesus is saying. The door is open now. We must go toward the open door. Because we need to do the work of Him who sent me, of God. And when God wants you to do work, He opens the door. And so as I processed that this past week, I said, I all of a sudden started to be flooded with questions. And I said this, are open doors only open for a season? Are the doors only open for a season? And then I said, do open doors have expiration dates? Can open doors look like they are shut? And these are just questions I wrote down on my blotter. I'm writing these questions. I said, God, if you're opening doors and you're going to invite us into working with Jesus in this open door, I got to know, do they have expiration dates? Do doors close? Can open doors look like they are shut? And do we walk by open doors? Am I making sense this morning? So the question to me, God, what are you asking me? Why did you record this blind man miracle? And why did you say verse 4? See, I can preach on the whole thing. And just so you know, 3 years ago last Sunday, I preached on this passage of Scripture. And we looked at the response of Jesus working in our lives, about the four people that responded to Jesus' work in the blind man's life. But then I couldn't get off of verse 4. When he says, as long as it's day, we need, and that word just we just jumped out to me this week. He didn't say I. He said, we must do, come on, disciples, come on, new lifers, come on, Tobin, come on, Ed, come on, Mason, come on, Amy. We're going to do the work of him who sent us. The door's open to step toward this guy who needs Jesus. Who needs a touch from Jesus. So come along. Come on. Our doors open only open for a season. And I come to the conclusion, I think they are. Now, do they open again later? Perhaps. But what I don't want to do is walk by open doors that God's got open and inviting me to work with Jesus in someone's life. I don't want to miss an open door. And I'm not going to run around worrying if I'm missing an open door or not, but I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. I'm not going to let fear guide my life. I'm going to be sold out for Christ so I can see those people that God wants me to step into their lives and do the work of God who sent me. So I ask myself, here the next question is, what door is open today? And so then I get up from my desk and I go out and I just kind of look. I go out on the front porch and I said, God, is there any doors open right this moment? Go look out the back window. Is my neighbor out? Is there any doors? I want to look for a door, God. I want to look for a blind man that you want to turn into an ex-blind man. That you're inviting me to work with you to alter someone's life. I know I don't do the work. Jesus did the work. I got that. But he invites me to be the instrument that he brings into someone else's life. So I'm looking. I'm looking up in the alley. I'm looking down the alley. I'm looking up the street. I'm looking down the street. God, is there an open door right now? Is there a door? And I said, God, when are the doors more open? Are there times when there's more doors open than when there's not doors open? And listen, I find this very interesting. There are more doors open 5 times when people would consider faith matters more than they would any other time. Here we go. Push the button. Please. More doors are open. Here, you're 47%. Our world is 47% more likely to have a faith conversation during Christmas time. I always, just so you know, for the last 15 years, I preached a Christmas message on the first Sunday of December. Because I want to live out this season. And 47% more likely for people to have a conversation considering their faith at Christmas season. Look at Easter, 38%. Look at following a major national crisis, 38% more likely. Following a natural disaster, 34%. After a birth of a baby, 28% more likely. I'm telling this right now. With Christmas, COVID, and a child, you better be, that's an open door. Right? If somebody has this season, if you know somebody this season, and we're having this crisis with COVID around, you know what that does? Oh, it keeps me in my house. I got to do this. I can't do this. I'll tell you what it does. It opens doors. Percent more likely to have a conversation with our faith, and then you marry that with Christmas? Are we ready? Are we ready to join Jesus at open doors? He said, I'm telling you right now, there's more open doors in the month of December 2020 than there was in the month of December 2019, because 2019 didn't have COVID. There are more doors open. Are you willing to join me? Are you willing to join me and step through those doors and interact with someone that God has opened up the door with so that we can do the work of Him who sent us? Am I making sense this morning? And then all of a sudden I talk to people, well, our church is arguing about this and our family is arguing about that, and this is intensified and this over here, and our body of believers can't do this, and we're all in an uproar, and we're all in a whirlwind. I said, no wonder. You know why that is? Because there's so many doors open right now. And he's got to keep all the people of God all jacked up so we don't see the doors, so we don't see the blind man. Colossians 4, 3 and 5 says this, and pray for us too, that God may open doors for our message so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward the lost people of this world and make the most of every opportunity. Don't lose your head. Because of the national crisis, people are 38% more likely to want to talk about a faith. Don't lose your head. It's December. Christmas is here. It's among us. People are 47% chance more likely to talk about a faith. Are we ready? I'm talking to people sitting here, the people in the safe room, and the people at home. Are we ready that Jesus can say, we must do the work of Him who sent me while the door is open? It's not time to circle the wagons. It's time to ride the trail. Sometimes we see the doors, and sometimes we feel the doors, and sometimes we knock to see if the door is open. This is a season of knocking on doors, I think. And so I've entitled this message, The Christmas Knock. I say all that to bring us to the message today. That I'm guaranteeing us absolute certainty that there are doors open this week that will not be open next week. There are doors open this month that will not be open next month. There are doors open in 2020 that will not be open in 2021. For us to do the work of Him who sent us. To step into someone's life. And so that they can spend 3 verses as a blind man and 27 verses as a sighted man. So when we knock on the door, I want us to knock on the door with a gift that makes known the meaning of Christmas. Just a news bulletin. Christmas is not about St. Nick, reindeer, and stockings. Christmas is not even about family, food, and parties. Christmas is not about special songs, trees, and gifts. It's about Jesus. If you have a tree in your house and you're buying gifts and Santa Claus this and that's okay. I'm not preaching against any of that. I'm preaching not against something. I'm preaching in favor of Christ. Because you can take all of that out of your house doesn't mean Christ is in your house. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas, Christ, Mass. Christ, Mass. Mass means communion or intimacy with Jesus. Christmas is the time of the year we celebrate that God became human and he had this and provided this intimacy with humanity. Christmas is about Jesus. I had that discussion with my mom one time years and years and years ago, obviously when she was living. And she said, Christmas is about family. I said, Mom, what did you just say? Now, granted, I'm coming to your house. Granted, you're going to buy me a gift. Granted, you're going to make your baked beans. Ooh, off the charts baked beans. But we got to agree one thing right now, Mom. Christmas is not about family. It's about Jesus. And this time of the year, the doors are open, and I want to step through with the true meaning of Christmas. I want to step through with a 2020 Christmas gift that somebody can look back on 2020 and not remember COVID, but remember Christ. The 2020 wasn't the time I survived COVID, but the 2020 was the time when I received my sight. Because somebody knew the door was open. Because somebody would walk through the door with Jesus. Because somebody would step into my life. Because somebody would stop judging me long enough to step into my life and share Christ with me. I'm telling us right now, 2020, December of 2020, somebody's coming to Christ. Somebody's going to have this as a birth date. Somebody is going to know Jesus this month that does not know him right now. And they're going to get sight. And I think you and I are going to get to be a part of that. I think you and I get to walk through with this gift. And I got a gift I'm going to give every one of you that you can construct and you can walk through and help somebody understand the message of Christmas. I want us to walk through the Advent wreath. The 2020 Christmas gift is the Advent wreath. Now, you might have heard of that before. You know what? We've never done an Advent wreath, and we're not going to do one this year. Okay? But you're going to walk through the door. We're not like, because we're already a week behind. I'm already a week behind. I'm always behind. If we were going to do an Advent wreath, it should have started last week. But I want to know what the Advent wreath means. And I think it's a great way for us to give the true meaning of Christmas. That those doors that God is opening right now, that we can step through with this simple Advent wreath. With these simple colors on this Advent wreath. It may look like this. And maybe you've seen those before. And I was buying paint so I can make an Advent wreath. And I'm at the place where they're selling paint. And I got 3-inch screws. I got a hacksaw. I got purple and pink paint. And the lady says, "What are you painting?" I said, "I'm painting the Advent wreath." And she said, "I've heard of that before." I said, "Can I tell you about it?" She said, "We do that every year at our church. I don't really know what it means." I said, "Well, that means this." And so on Friday, I preached the whole message at the counter because somebody's door was open. I'm telling you right now, the door's already been open for this young lady at the counter. Simply knowing the door, what is pink and purple paint got to do with 3-inch screws? And maybe your Advent wreath, you remember, looks similar to this. I'm telling you, this is what my Advent wreath looks like. Push the button, please. Here it is. I'm a simple guy. I got Advent wreath, just so you know. This is what I was painting. I got an Advent wreath. I got the yard version of the Advent wreath. Okay, you can sit this in your yard, and the neighbors will say, what in the world do you have in your yard? And let me tell you what I have in my yard. I got an Advent wreath in my yard. You know, let me tell you what it means. I tell you, we can walk through doors in this season. When people's doors are open, with this simple seven pieces of this Advent wreath that can help you describe and help your kids understand the true meaning of Christmas. Are they still going to get a gift? I hope so. It's a great time to get a gift. But don't pass up the opportunity for your kids and for your neighbors and for people that God has opened up the door for on this month to understand the true meaning of Christmas. And I think we can do it with this bunch of circles right here. It's a wreath. This is not me. I've copied this. This has been happening for 300 or 400 years. So it's a wreath is round. This speaks of the endlessness of the truth that it declares. Okay, it's gonna declare a truth here, but it's on a wreath because it's endless. The truth is endless. It's gonna proclaim. Just a minute. It's gonna proclaim, and maybe we should have our pictures taken through here. It's gonna proclaim a truth, and the truth that these proclaim are endless. Just so you know, are endless. There is no limit to the truth that God wants to pour out. This is the meaning of Christmas. The truth that this season proclaims that doors are going to be open, already the door at the lady at the paint counter. But one thing I will not do is I will not be a church when you sit there and say, we do that every year, I have no idea what it is. That's one of my greatest nightmares that I have. Oh yeah, I go there, we do some things, I don't know what do we do them for. Shame on me. So here, the wreath is endless. It's green because why? This speaks of the life that the truth brings. Okay? This season, this is what God wants to do in our lives. Is this endless truth, the wreath? And the green is because that truth proclaims life into our lives. So here we go. On the green circle, there are five candles or five colors. There are five candles or colors that tell the story. I'm just telling this, the truth that these are telling right now, listen, this is not me. This has been, some monk did this 400 years ago. But these five circles tell a story. And when these five circles tell the story of what God wants to do in your life and in my life and in the lives of open door people, that truth is endless. And it creates life. That's why it's on green. That's why it's on a circle. So let's tell the story. Let's tell the story of the true meaning of Christmas. The first candle or the color speaks of hope. It's the first purple over here. It's the first one that speaks of hope. The message of Christmas is first and foremost hope. The confident expectation, the firm assurance. There's got to be a firm assurance or a confident expectation. I want, and the lady and three people behind me were getting the message, so there's already four people. I didn't take up any offering, but I preached the message there. I said, you got to know that God, there is hope. You got to know that no matter what's going on in your world, there's hope. You got to know that the Christmas message is the message of hope. So you can make these in all kinds of... You got to know that it's hope. There's hope. And I want you to know there's hope. And what is the true meaning of Christmas? First and foremost, the story begins with hope. There's hope. No matter what's going on in your world, there's hope. No matter what's going on in your world, God is still on the throne. No matter what's going on in your world, push the button, please. The Isaiah says this, for unto us a child is born, us to a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Just so we know. Just so we know, there is a wonderful God. There is a wonderful counselor. He is in the world today. I need you to know that. I don't believe it. I just want you to know it right now. I just want you to know that there is a wonderful counselor in the world today. I want you to know that there's a mighty God in the world today. I want you to know there's an everlasting Father in the world today. I want you to know there's a Prince of Peace in the world today. There is hope. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just proclaiming that that's true. Be confident in this, that it's out there. That there is this God who is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. There is a rock when all the ground is sinking sand. Push the button. There is a rock when all of the ground is sinking sand. You got to know that. Even if you're on the sand, you got to know there is a rock. That's hope. Hope. I'm not asking you to step on the rock yet. Hope is knowing that there is a rock when all other ground is sinking sand. And there is a way when the paths seem blocked. And there is an anchor that holds when the storms are raging. We just need to let people know that. My world is falling apart, people will say. My world is falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. Do you know that there's a wonderful counselor in the world today? Do you know that there's a rock when all other ground is sinking sand? Do you know that there is a path when all other ways are blocked? Do you know that there's freedom when the chains are binding me and binding you? When there is light when all else appears dark? Do you know that? Do you know that? The Advent wreath, it's endless. It wants you to know that there's hope. There is hope. Can we tell the story? Can we tell the story that God is, there's hope in our world today? There is hope. There is God is doing amazing things in our world today, and He's provided this for you. There's hope. How about the second purple? The second purple is this, the wholeness or the peace. It speaks of peace, hope, and peace. It speaks of the peace, that the wholeness, the tranquility, the harmony. There is peace. The Advent wreath points to its viewers to the fact that there is peace. Peace, a wholeness, a tranquility, a harmony. God wants to make you whole. He wants to give you an internal stillness. He wants you to give you peace with Himself. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." There's peace. I got a vision that we're going to take these and we're going to make these. This is out of a paper plate that Bethany made me last night. I'm just telling you, I got this vision when I'm thinking about this message. I'm thinking, man, we're going to draw these on our Christmas cards before we send them out. Man, we're going to draw them on the note, and somebody's going to say, "What the heck is up with the circles and the colors?" And you're going to say, "Let me tell you what it is. It's the true meaning of Christmas. There's hope in our world." I just got that vision that's going to happen. That people are just going to draw these and explain. I hope it's true. I hope it's true because the doors are open because it's Christmas, because the COVID and doors are open. And God says, I want you to go in during this season, but I want you to go in with a true meaning. I want you to tell people there's hope. I want you to tell people that there's peace, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. A wreath with five colors on it. The third one is pink. The Advent wreath points its viewers to the fact that there is joy, unspeakable joy. Can you imagine just telling somebody that, "Hey, what's up with you? I've got unspeakable joy." What in the world are you talking about? I call this a heart or a soul smile. And to leap and spin around with pleasure. That's the meaning of the Hebrew word. God wants to fill you with joy. That when you say "I'm happy," would feel like that's not enough to say. I got to spin around. I got to leap and spin around with joy. With pleasure. peace. Can we do five colors that are proclaiming the message of Christmas? On a green wreath that says, these colors will bring life to you, and this life will be endless. Can we make a wreath and just put it on our door? Can we make a wreath and just put it in our midst? Can we make a wreath and just hand it to someone and just let them know the true meaning of Christmas? With this joy that God wants to give them, this heart smile that God wants to give them. And the fourth candle speaks of love. An Advent wreath points its viewers to the fact that there is love. There's my definition of love. This kind, gracious, uncomplaining. Do you ever realize, and when I wrote that this week, do you ever realize how much God doesn't complain about you? Oh my land, there goes that again. For crying out loud, he's doing this, and wham, wham, wham. I don't think God has that voice. Some of you are Saturday Night Live, old time Saturday Night Live, probably people. You remember the whiners? Tim and Wendy Whiner. What's his name?
Doug and Wendy.
Say it again.
Doug and Wendy.
Doug and Wendy Whiner. It's Doug and Wendy. I got diverticulitis. You remember? I mean, you're way too young, but. The Doug and Wendy Whiner was always whining about everything. And even if it was good, they were whining about it. And it was whining and whining and whining. God never does that to you. He never complains. His love, this love, this kind, gracious, uncomplaining, caring, giving, gentle, good, and welcoming fragrance that emits from God with the sole purpose of saturating you and I with it. That's my definition of love. Can we tell people that God loves them? When we walk through the doors that God opens for us, and just for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves you. This world needs to know that God loves them. This world needs to know that there is hope. The world needs to know that there is peace. The world needs to know that there is joy. The world needs to know that there is love. And the white is Jesus. It's often called the Christ candle. Here's my definition of Jesus in short. I have it written on two pages of typed for my definition of Jesus. I took one piece of that. He is light and love and longevity in Lord. He is goodness and kindness and gentleness in God. He is holy and righteous and powerful and pure. He is the giver of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love. Would you like to know my Jesus? Our world needs to know that these hope and this peace and this joy and this love comes through Christ, and it'll bring life to you, and it's endless. I bought you each a kit. It's an Advent wreath kit. I got one for everyone in the room. And it has all the colors on it. My assignment to you is to make this and throw it in your desk and never look at it again. See, people always do the opposite of what you tell them, right? I want you to make it and ask God, God, where's the open door you want me to send this? And maybe you'll just write simply, I just need you to know this season that there's hope, there's peace, there's joy, and there's love. because Jesus is in the world today. Merry Christmas. I'm not asking you to preach a message. I don't think God's asking us that. Maybe he is. With five words and a few cheap beads. But what a message. These kits will be on a table in the exit, in the entry as you leave today. But let me end with this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Isn't that powerful? And maybe you'll write this verse under the wreath. May the God of all hope of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a Christmas verse. What a Christmas verse. I'm going to ask you to stand here just a second. And Tobin and Mason are going to go out and move that table in the entry. So please don't bull rush them and get out there before they do. Here they go. I'm asking you to take at least one of these. If you're online right now and you send me a message, I'll send you one in the mail. That's at least, there's going to be at least, let me just say, there's going to be at least one door open in every one of our lives this year, this Christmas season. I'm asking you to do this and send it to an open door. And explain it any way that you want. It's your message that Jesus has given you. Stand with me today. Just to make this real clear, carrying this message has no age limit. So if you want to go home and you want to make one with your 2-year-old, please. And you say, might say, I don't know if my 2-year-old will understand it. I'm guaranteeing you they won't understand it if you don't tell them. God, thank you for these moments. Thank you for this Advent wreath. And Father, I know and I pray for the young lady that sold me the pink and the purple paint. Thank you that I had my old clothes on and my old scruffy hat and I was buying 3-inch screws and pink and purple paint. And she would just simply say, what in the world are you painting? So I pray for that young lady this morning as well. That the message of the season will penetrate her soul and her heart. And our world will know as we send these wreaths perhaps out, as we give them, hand give them, put them in a card for the mailman, I don't know. Lead us to the open doors, God. Because somebody needs to know, and a lot of people perhaps, but just one guy needed sight that day. Somebody is blind, and they will not be blind when they receive this truth of this Advent wreath. Father, I thank you for these moments together. Blessings on everyone that's here. Blessings on those that are watching from home. Blessings on you in the safe room. This is December 6th, 2020, the year of our Lord. Help us to see the doors. Help us to walk through them and do the work which of him who has called us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.